as Alex and my three droogs. That is Pete, Georgie and Dim. And we sat in the Corova Milk Bar trying to make up our razoodos what to do with the evening. The Corova Milk Bar sold Milk Plus. Milk Plus Velocet or Synthomesque or Drencrum, which is what we were drinking. This would sharpen you up and make you ready for a bit of the old ultra-violence.
In Dublin, fair city, where the girls are so pretty, I first set my eyes on sweet Molly Malone. As she wheeled her wheelbarrow through streets broad and narrow, crying cockles and mussels.
One thing I could never stand was to see a filthy, dirty old drunkie howling away at the filthy songs of his fathers and going blurp blurp in between, as it might be a filthy old orchestra in his stinking rotten guts. I could never stand to see anyone like that, whatever his age might be, but more especially when he was real old like this one was.
Can you spare some cutter, me brothers? Go on, do me in, you bastard cowards. We don't want to live anyway. Not in a stinking water like this.
Oh? And what's so stinking about it?
It's a stinking water because there's no law and order anymore. It's a stinking water because it lets the young get onto the old. Oh, it's no water for an old man any longer. What talk about water is it at all? Men on that moon, and men spinning around the earth, and there's not no attention paid to earthly law and order no more. Oh, dear the land, I fought for thee.
Around by the derelict casino that we came across Billy Boy and his four droogs. They were getting ready to perform a little of the old in-out, in-out on a weepy young divotchka they had there.
Let's get it, boys! police! Come on, let's go!
The Durango 95 purred away real horror show. A nice, warm, vibratory feeling all through your gutty woods. Soon it was trees and dark, my brothers. With real country dark. Fiddled around for a while with other travelers of the night, playing hogs of the road. Then we headed west. What we were after now was the old surprise visit. That was a real kick, and good for laughs and lashings of the old ultra-violent.
But we don't have a telephone. You'll have to go somewhere else.
But, Mrs., it's a matter of life and death.
Who is it, dear?
There's a young man here. He says there's been an accident. He wants to use the telephone.
Well, I suppose you better let him in.
Well, wait a minute, will you? I'm sorry, but we don't usually let strangers in.
Right, Pete, check the rest of the house. Dead. Super doo, super doo, super doo, super doo. I'm singing in the rain, just singing in the rain. What a glorious feeling! I'm happy again. I'm laughing at clouds so dark up above. Stormy clouds chill everyone from the place. I'm on with the rain. I've a smile on my face. I'll walk down the lane with a happy ring of rain. And I'm singing. Singing in the rain. What a glorious feeling.
I'm laughing at
clouds.
So dark up the road. The sun's in my heart. And I'm ready for love.
Ready for love.
Let the stormy cloud chase.
Ready for love.
Everyone from the place. Along with the rain. Have a smile on my face.
Ready for love.
Walk down the lane with a happy refrain. And I'm singing, just singing in the rain. Biddy well, little brother. Biddy well.
We were all feeling a bit shagged and fagged and fashed, it having been an evening of some small energy expenditure, oh my brothers. So we got rid of the auto and stopped off at the Corova for a nightcap.
Hello, Lucy. Had a busy night. We've been working hard, too. Pardon me, Luce.
There were some sophistos from the TV studios around the corner, laughing and greeting. The Devotchka was smecking away and not caring about the wicked world one bit. Then the disc on the stereo twanged off and out, and in the short silence before the next one came on, she suddenly came with a burst of singing.
Freude, schöne Götter, Funkentochter.
And it was like, for a moment, oh my brothers, some great bird had flown into the milk bar, and I felt all the melanky little hairs on my plot standing endwise, and the shivers crawling up like slow melanky lizards, and then down again, because I knew what she sang. It was a bit from The Glorious Ninth by Ludwig van.
What did you do that for?
For being a bastard with no manners. Not a duke of an idea how to comport yourself public-wise, oh my brother.
I don't like you should do what you've done. And I'm not your brother no more and wouldn't want to be.
Watch that. Do watch that, old Jim, if to continue to be online thou dost wish.
Yarbles! Great bolsy yard blockhouse to you. I'll meet you with chain or nozzle gripper any time. Not having you aiming toe chucks at me reasonless. But it stands to reason, I won't have it.
A nod scrap any time you say.
Doobie doo. A bit tired, maybe. That's not the same, old. Bed ways is right ways now. So best we go home ways and get a bit of spatchka. Right, right?
Right, right.
Right, right.
Where I lived was with my dadda and mum in Municipal Flat Block 18A, Linear North.
Thank you.
It had been a wonderful evening, and what I needed now to give it the perfect ending was a bit of the old Ludwig van. Gorgeousness and gorgeousity made flesh. It was like a bird of rarest spun heaven metal, or like silvery wine flowing in a spaceship, gravity all nonsense now. As I sushied, I knew such lovely pictures.
Try and sleep it off, and then I'll be as right as dodgers for this after.
But you've not been to school all week, son.
Got to rest, Mum. Got to get fit. Otherwise, I'm liable to miss a lot more school.
Here, I'll put your breakfast in the oven. I've got to be off myself now.
All right, Mum. Have a nice day at the factory.
He's not feeling too good again this morning, Dad.
Yes, yes, I heard. You know what time you got home last night?
No, I don't. Well, I take me sleepers.
I wonder, where exactly is it he goes to work of evenings?
Well, like he says, it's mostly odd things he does. Helping, like, here and there, as it might be.
Mr. Deltoid. Funny surprise seeing you here.
Alec, boy, awake at last, yes? I met your mother on the way to work, yes? She gave me the key. She said something about a pain somewhere, hence not at school, yes?
A rather intolerable pain in the head, brother, sir. I think it should be clear by this after lunch.
Oh, certainly by this evening, yes. The evening's the great time, isn't it, Alex, boy?
Cup of the old chai, sir?
No time, yes. Sit.
What do I owe this extreme pleasure, sir? Anything wrong, sir?
Wrong? Why should you think of anything being wrong? Have you been doing something you shouldn't? Yes?
Just a manner of speech, sir.
Yes, but it's just a manner of speech from your first corrective advisor to you that you watch out, little Alex, because next time it's not going to be the corrective school anymore. Next time it's going to be the Bari place and all my work ruined. If you've no respect for your horrible self, you at least might have some for me, who've sweated over you. A big black mark, I tell you, for everyone we don't reclaim. A confession of failure for every one of you who ends up in the stripy hole.
I've been doing nothing I shouldn't, sir. The Millicents have nothing on me, brother. Sir, I mean.
What about this clever talk about Millicent just because the police haven't picked you up lately? Doesn't, as you very well know, mean that you've not been up to some nastiness? There was a bit of a nastiness last night, yes? Some very extreme nastiness, yes? A few of a certain Billy Boy's friends were ambulanced off late, yes? Your name was mentioned. The words got through to me by the usual channel. Certain friends of yours were named also. Oh, nobody can prove anything about anybody, as usual. And I'm warning you, little Alex, being a good friend to you as always, the one man in this sore and sick community who wants to save you from yourself. What gets into all? We study the problem. We've been studying it for damn well near a century, yes, but we get no farther with our studies. You got a good home here, good loving parents. You've got not too bad of a brain. Is it some devil that crawls inside of you?
Nobody's got anything on me, brother, sir. I've been out of the Rookers of the Millicents for a long time now.
That's just what worries me. A bit too long to be safe. You're about due now, by my reckoning. That's why I'm warning you, little Alex, to keep your handsome young proboscis out of the dirt. Do I make myself clear?
As an unmuddied lake, sir. As clear as an azure sky of deepest summer. You can rely on me, sir.
Excuse me, brother. I ordered this 2 weeks ago. Can you see if it's arrived yet, please?
Just a minute.
Pardon me, ladies. Enjoying that, are you, my darling? Bit cold and pointless, isn't it, my lovely? What's happened to yours, my little sister?
Who are you getting, Braddy? Goggly Go Go, Johnny Zhivago, the Heaven 17.
What you got back home, little sister, to play your fuzzy warbles on? I bet you got little, say, pitiful, portable picnic players. Come with Uncle and hear all proper. Hear angel trumpets and devil trombones. You are invited.
Thank you.
there.
Well, hello.
See you're here. He has arrived. Hooray.
Welly, 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 well. To what do I owe the extreme pleasure of this surprising visit?
We got worried. There we were, awaiting and drinking away at the old knifey Malocco. And you had not turned up. And we thought you might have been, like, offended by something or other. So round we come to your abode.
Happy Polly Lodges. I had something of a pain in the gulliver, so I had to sleep. I was not awakened when I gave orders for wakening.
Oh, sorry about the pain. Using the gulliver too much, like maybe. Giving orders and discipline and such, perhaps. You sure the pain is gone? You sure you'd not be happier back in bed?
Let's get things nice and sparkling clear. This sarcasm, if I may call it such, does not become you, O my little brothers. As I am your Drugan leader, I'm entitled to know what goes on, eh? Now then, Dim, what does that great big horsey gape of a grin portend?
All right, no more picking on Dim, brother. That's part of the new way.
New way? What's this about a new way? There's been some very large talk behind my sleeping back at no error.
Well, if you must have it then. We go around shop-cresting and the like, coming out with a pitiful rooker full of money
pitiful
each.
Pitiful rooker full.
And there's Will the English and the Muscle Man Coffee Mess, not though saying English. He can fence anything that any male chick tries to crest.
Yeah.
The shiny stuff, the shiny ice. Stuff. The big, big, big money's available is what Will the English says.
Big, big money. And what will you do with the big, big, big money? Have you not everything you need? If you need a motor car, you pluck it from the trees. If you need Pretty Polly, you take it.
Brother, you think and talk sometimes like a little child.
A little child, yeah.
Tonight we pull a man-sized crest.
Tonight's a man-sized crest.
Good! Real honor show. Initiative comes to them that way.
I've taught you much, my little droogies. Now tell me what you had in mind, Georgie boy.
Oh, the old Malocco Plus first, would
Malocco
you not
Plus,
say?
Eh?
He's coming to sharpen us up.
Some of the Malocco Plus.
But yeah. You especially, we have the start.
Yeah, you guys are first, because we've got start on you. Yeah, Malocco Plus, eh? Yeah.
As we walked along the flat block marina, I was calm on the outside, but thinking all the time. So now it was to be Georgie the General, saying what we should do and what not to do, and Dim as his mindless, grinning bulldog. But suddenly I vidded that thinking was for the gloopy ones, and that the Omni ones used like inspiration and what bog sends. For now it was lovely music that came to my aid. There was a window open with a stereo on, and I vidded right at once what to do.
Thank you.
had not put into any of Dim's main cables. And so, with the help of a clean tashtook, the red Kruvi soon stopped. And it did not take long to quieten the two wounded soldiers down in the snug of the Duke of New York. Now they knew who was master and leader. Sheep, thought I. But a real leader knows always when like to give and show generous to his unders.
Well, now we're back to where we were. Yes? Just like before and all forgotten? Right.
Right. Right.
Right. Well, Georgie boy, this idea of yours for tonight, tell us all about it then.
Not tonight. Not this, Nochi.
Come, Georgie boy. You're a big, strong Chelovek like us all. We're not little children, are we, Georgie boy? What then didst thou in thy mind have?
It's this health farm. A bit out of the town. Isolated. It's owned by this, like, very rich Petitza who lives here with her cats. The place is shut down for a week and she's completely on her own. And it's full up with, like, gold and silver and, like, jewels.
Tell me more, Georgie boy. Tell me more.
I'm frankly sorry. There's a telephone in the public house about a mile down the road. I suggest you use that.
But, missus, this is an emergency. It's a matter of life and death. My friend's lying in the middle of the road, bleeding to death.
I'm very sorry, but I never open the door to strangers after dark.
Very well, madam. I suppose you can't be blamed for being suspicious with so many scoundrels and rogues of the night about. I'll try and get help at the pub then. I'm sorry if I disturbed you. Thank you very much. Good night.
Radford Police Station. Good evening, it's Miss Weathers at Woodmere Health Farm. Hello. Look, I'm frankly sorry to bother you, but something rather odd has just happened. Well, it's probably nothing at all, but you never know. Well, a young man rang the bell asking to use the telephone. He said there'd been some kind of accident. Well, the thing that caught my attention was what he said. The words he used sounded very like what was quoted in the papers this morning in connection with the writer and his wife who were assaulted last night. Just a few minutes ago. Well, if you think that's necessary, but I'm quite sure he's gone away now. Oh, all right, fine. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Ha, ha, ha there.
At last we meet. Our brief golf read through the letter O was not, shall we say, satisfactory. Yes?
Who are you? How the hell did you get in here? What the bloody hell do you think you're doing?
Naughty, 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 you filthy old sunker.
Now listen here, you little bastard. Just turn round and walk out of here the same way as you came in. Leave that alone, don't touch it. It's a very important work of art. What the bloody hell do you want?
Well, to be perfectly honest, madam, I'm taking part in an international students' contest to see who can get the most points for selling magazines.
Cut the shit, Sonny, and get out of here before you get yourself into some very serious trouble. I told you to leave that alone! Now get out of here before I throw you out! Wretched, slummy bedbug! I'll teach you to break into real people's houses. You fucking little...
Sitting there in hope, my little brothers. I won't say a single solitary slovo unless I have my lawyer here. I know the law, you bastards.
Righty right, Tom. We'll have to show our little friend Alex here that we know the law too. But that knowing the law isn't anything.
Nasty cut you've got there, little Alex. Shame. Spoils all your beauty. Who gave you that then? Eh? How'd you do that then?
Ah, what's that for, you bastard?
That is for your lady victim. You ghastly, wretched scoundrel.
Good evening, Mr. Doltoyer.
Good evening, Sergeant.
Now, there in room B, sir.
Thank you very much.
Sergeant. Sir.
Good evening, Mr. Deltoy.
Good evening, Inspector.
Would you like your tea now, sir?
No, thank you, Sergeant. We'll have it later. Brilliant. May I have some paper towels, please?
Yes, sir.
We're interrogating the prisoner now. Perhaps you'd care to come inside.
Thank you very much. Evening, Sergeant. Evening, all.
Dear, this boy does look a mess, doesn't he? Just look at the state of him.
Love's young nightmare-like.
Violence makes violence. He resisted his lawful arresters. Well, this is the end of the line for me. The end of the line, yes.
It wasn't me, brother, sir. Speak up for me, sir, for I'm not so bad. I was led on by the treachery of others, sir.
Sings the roof off lovely, he does, sir.
Well, what am I stinking traitorous droogs? Get them before they get away. It was all their idea, brothers. They forced me to do it. I'm innocent.
You are now a murderer, little Alex. A murderer.
Not true, sir. It was only a slight old chalk. She was breathing, I swear it.
I've just come from the hospital. Your victim has died.
You try to frighten me, admit so, sir. This is some new form of torture. Say it, brother, sir.
It'll be your own torture. I hope to God it'll torture you to madness.
If you'd care to give him a bash in the chops, sir, don't mind us. We'll hold him down. He must be a great disappointment to you, sir.
This is the real weepy and light tragic part of the story beginning, oh my brothers and only friends. After a trial with judges and a jury and some very hard words spoken against your friend and humble narrator, he was sentenced to 14 years in Starger number 84F among smelly perverts and hardened prostitutes. The shock sending my dadda beating his bruised and groovy rookers against unfair bog in his heaven, and my mum boo-hoo-hooing in her mother's grief at her only child and son of her bosom, like letting everybody down real horror show.
Hold it. 1 o'clock, ten, sister.
1 o'clock, ten, sir.
What? Open up, sir.
Yes, sir.
Good morning, sir. Here are the prisoner's committal forms.
Thank you, mister. Name?
Alexander DeLarge.
You are now in 18 Prison Potmore. And from this moment, you will address all prison officers as sir. Name?
Alexander DeLarge, sir.
Sentence?
14 years, sir.
Crime?
Murder, sir.
Right. Take a cut of it, mister.
Yes, sir.
Then your toes belong on the other side of it!
Yes, sir.
Right. Carry on. Pick that up and put it down properly.
Yes, sir.
One bunch of keys on white metal ring. One packet of cigarettes. Two plastic ball pens. One black, one red. One pocket comb, black plastic. One address book, imitation red leather. One tenpenny piece. One white metal wristlet watch. Timer wrist on a white metal expanding bracelet. Anything else in your pockets? No, sir. Right. Sign here. Your valuable property. The tobacco and chocolate you bought in, you lose that, as you are now convicted. Now over to the table and get undressed.
White jacket, blue pinstripe.
Prison custody?
Yes, sir, on remand, sir.
White necktie, blue.
Religion?
C of E, sir.
Do you mean the Church of England?
Yes, sir, the Church of England, sir.
Brown hair, isn't it?
Fair hair, sir.
Blue eyes?
Blue, sir.
Do you wear eyeglasses or contact lenses?
No, sir.
One shirt, blue, collar attached.
Have you been receiving medical treatment for any serious illness?
No, sir.
One pair of boots, black leather zippered, worn.
Have you ever had any mental illness?
No, sir.
Do you wear any false teeth or any false limbs?
No, sir.
One pair of trousers, blue pinstripe.
Have you ever had any attacks of fainting or dizziness?
No, sir.
One pair of socks, black.
Are you an epileptic?
No, sir.
One pair of underpants, white, with blue waistband.
Are you now, or have you ever been, a homosexual?
No, sir.
Right. The mothballs, mister.
Mothballs, sir.
Now then, face the wall, bend over, and touch your toes. Anybody ill of disease?
No, sir.
Cramps?
No, sir.
Nice? No, sir. Blue there for the bar.
Yes, sir.
Up for the
bar. One for the
bar. What's it going to be, eh? Is it going to be in and out of institutions like this, though more in than out for most of you? Or are you going to attend to the divine word and realize the punishments that await unrepentant sinners in the next world as well as this? A lot of idiots you are, selling your birthright for a saucer of cold porridge, the thrill of theft, of violence, the urge to live easy. Well, I ask you, what is it worth when we have undeniable proof, yes, incontrovertible evidence that hell exists? I know, my friends, I have been informed in visions that there is a place darker than any prison, hotter than any flame of human fire, where souls of unrepentant criminal sinners like yourselves. Don't you laugh, damn you, don't you laugh. I say like yourselves. Scream in endless and unendurable agony. Their skin rotting and peeling. A fireball spinning in their screaming guts. I know. Oh, yes, I know.
I call you! Thank you, old party, I call you!
Quiet! All right, you lot, we're in by CM258 in the prisoner hymnal.
I'll need some a little reverence, you bastards!
Not been edifying, indeed not. Being in this hellhole and human zoo for 2 years now. Being kicked and toll-chopped by brutal warders, and meeting leering criminals and perverts ready to dribble all over a luscious young mouth chip like your storyteller. It was my rabbit to help the prison Charlie with the Sunday service. He was a bulshy, great, burly bastard, but he was very fond of myself, me being very young, and also now very interested in the big book. I read all about the scourging and the crowning with thorns, and I could video myself helping in and even taking charge of the toll-chocking and the nailing in, being dressed in the height of Roman fashion. I didn't so much like the latter part of the book, which is more like all preachy talking than fighting in the old in-out. I like the parts where these old Yehudis toll-chock each other and then drink their Hebrew vino and getting onto the bed with their wives' handmaidens. That kept me going.
Seek not to be like evil men, neither desire to be with them, because their minds study at robberies, and their lips speak deceit.
If thou lose hope, being weary in the days of distress, thy strength shall be diminished.
Fine, my son, fine.
Father, I have tried, have I not?
You have, my son.
I've done my best, have I not?
Indeed.
I've never been guilty of any institutional infraction. How about Harvey?
You certainly have not, 655321. You've been very helpful, and you've shown a genuine desire to reform.
Father, can I ask you a question in private?
Certainly, my son, certainly. Is there something troubling you, my son? Don't be shy to speak up. Remember, I know of the urges that can trouble young men deprived of the society of women.
Oh, Father, it's nothing like that, Father. It's about this new thing they're all talking about, Father. About this new treatment that gets you out of prison in no time at all. And make sure you never get back in again.
Where did you hear about this? Who's been talking about these things?
These things get around, Father. Two warders talk, as it might be, and somebody can't help overhearing what they say. And somebody picks up a scrap of newspaper in the workshops. And the newspaper tells all about it. How about putting me in for this new treatment, Father?
I take it you are referring to the Ludovico technique.
I don't know what it's called, Father. All I know that it gets you out quickly and makes sure you never get back in again.
That is not proven, 655321. In fact, it is only in the experimental stage at this moment.
It has been used, isn't it, Father?
It has not been used in this prison yet. The governor has grave doubts about it.
And I have heard that there are very serious dangers involved.
I don't care about the dangers, Father. I just want to be good. I want for the rest of my life to be one act of goodness.
The question is whether or not this technique really makes a man good. Goodness comes from within. Goodness is chosen. When a man cannot choose, he ceases to be a man.
I don't understand about the whys and wherefores, Father. I only know I want to be good.
Be patient, my son. Put your trust in the Lord.
Instruct thy son, and he shall refresh thee, and shall give delight to thy soul.
Amen.
Punishment.
I agree, sir. What we need are larger prisons, more money.
Not a chance, my dear fellow. The government can't be concerned any longer with our mooning penological theories. Soon we may be needing all our prison space for political offenders. Common criminals like these are best dealt with on a purely curative basis. Kill the criminal reflex, that's all. Full implementation in a year's time. Punishment means nothing to them, you can see that. They enjoy their so-called punishment.
You're absolutely right, sir.
Shut up, in hole!
Who said that?
I did, sir.
What crime did you commit?
The accidental killing of a person, sir.
He brutally murdered a woman, sir, in furtherance of theft. 14 years, sir!
Excellent. He's enterprising, aggressive, outgoing, young, bold, vicious. He'll do.
Well, fine. We could still look at C block.
No, that's enough. He's perfect. I want his record sent to me. This vicious young hoodlum will be transformed out of all recognition.
Thank you very much for this chance, sir.
Let's hope you make the most of it, my boy.
Shall we go to my office?
Thank you.
Come in. Sir! Six double
good, Chief.
Forward to the white line, those guarded, full name and number to the governor.
Alexander Delarge, sir, 655321, sir.
I don't suppose you know who that was this morning, do you? That was no less a personage than the Minister of the Interior. A new Minister of the Interior, what they call a very new brew. Well, these new ridiculous ideas have come at last, and orders are orders. Though I may say to you in confidence, I do not approve. An eye for an eye, I say. If someone hits you, you hit back, do you not? Why then should not the state, very severely hit by you brutal hooligans, not hit back also? The new view is to say no. The new view is that we turn the bad into good. All of which seems to me to be grossly unjust, eh?
Sir, don't help the hole, you scum!
You are to be reformed. Tomorrow you will go to this man Brodsky. You will be leaving here. You will be transferred to the Ludovico Medical Facility. It is believed that you will be able to leave state custody in a little over a fortnight. I suppose that prospect pleases you.
Answer the governor, ask you a question!
Yes, sir. Thank you very much, sir. I've done my best here. I really have, sir. I'm very grateful to all concerned, sir.
Sign this where it's marked.
Don't beat it, Sergeant!
It says that you are willing to have the residue of your sentence commuted to submission to the Ludovico treatment. And this. And another copy.
The next morning, I was taken to the Ludovico Medical Facility, outside the town centre. And I felt a malanky bit sad having to say goodbye to the old stodger, as you always will when you leave a place you've, like, got used to.
Right, hold the prisoner! Good morning, sir. I'm Chief Officer Barnes. I've got 655321 on a transfer from Parkmore to the Ludovico Centre, sir.
Good morning. Yes, we've been expecting you. I'm Dr. Alcott.
Dr. Alcott. Very good, sir. Are you prepared to accept the prisoner, sir?
Yes, of course.
And I wondered if you'd mind signing these transfer documents, sir. There, sir. And there, sir. And there. Is that the officer that is to take charge of the prisoner, sir? If I may offer a word of advice, Doc, you'll have to watch this one. A ripe, brutal bastard he has been, and will be again, in spite of all his sucking up to the prison chaplain and reading the Bible.
Oh, I think we can manage things. Charlie, will you show the young man to his room now?
Right, sir. You come this way, please.
Good morning, Charlie.
Good morning, Doctor.
Good morning, Alex. My name is Dr. Branham. I'm Dr. Brodsky's assistant.
Good morning, Mrs. Lovely day, isn't it?
Yes, indeed it is. May I take that? How are you feeling this morning?
Fine, fine.
Good. Now, in a few minutes, you'll meet Dr. Brodsky and we'll begin your treatment. You're a very lucky boy to have been chosen.
I realize that, Mrs., and I'm very grateful to all concerned.
We're going to be friends, then, aren't we, Alex?
I hope so, Mrs.
What's the IPO for, then? Going to send me to sleep?
Oh, no, nothing of the sort.
Vitamins, will it be, then?
Something like that. You're a little undernourished, so after each meal, we're going to give you a shot. Roll over on your right side, please. Loosen your pajama pants and pull them halfway down.
What exactly is the treatment here going to be, then?
Oh, it's quite simple, really. We're just going to show you some films.
You mean like going to the pictures?
Something like that.
Well, that's good. I like to vidy the old films now and again.
And vidy films I would. Where I was taken to, brothers, was like no cine I ever vidied before. I was bound up in a straitjacket, and MacGulliver was strapped to a headrest with like wires running away from it. Then they clamped like lidlocks on my eyes so that I could not shut them, no matter how hard I tried. It seemed a bit crazy to me, but I let them get on with what they wanted to get on with. If I was to be a free young Malchick again in a fortnight's time, I would put up with much in the meantime, oh my brothers. The first film was a very good professional piece of cine, like it was done in Hollywood. The sounds were a real horror show. You could slushy the screams and moans, very realistic. And you could even get the heavy breathing and panting of the tall-chopping Malchicks at the same time. And then what do you know? Soon our dear old friend, the red vino on tap, the same in all places like it's put out by the same big firm, began to flow. It was beautiful. It's funny how the colours of the real world only seem really real when you video them on a screen. Now, all the time I was watching this, I was beginning to get very aware of, like, not feeling all that well. And this I've put down to all the rich food and vitamins. But I tried to forget this, concentrating on the next film, which jumped right away on a young Devotchka, who was being given the old in-out, in-out. First by one Malchick, then another, then another. When it came to the sixth or seventh Malchick, leering and smecking, and then going into it, I began to feel really sick. But I could not shut me glasses. And even if I tried to move my glass balls about, I still could not get out of the line of fire of this picture.
Get me up. I want to be sick. Get something for me to be sick in.
Very soon now, the drug will cause the subject to experience a death-like paralysis, together with deep feelings of terror and helplessness.
I can't stand it anymore.
One of our early test subjects described it as being like death, a sense of stifling or drowning. And it is during this period we've found that the subject will make his most rewarding associations between his catastrophic experience of violence and the violence he sees.
Leave me glasses!
Dr. Brodsky is pleased with you. You've made a very positive response. Now, tomorrow there will be two sessions, of course, morning and afternoon.
You mean I have to vidy two sessions in one day?
I imagine you'll be feeling a little bit limp by the end of the day. But we have to be hard on you. You have to be cured.
It was horrible.
Of course it was horrible. Violence is a very horrible thing. That's what you're learning now. Your body's learning it.
I just don't understand about feeling sick the way I did. I never used to feel sick before. I used to feel like the very opposite. I mean, doing it or watching it, I used to feel real on a show.
You felt ill this afternoon because you're getting better. You see, when we're healthy, we respond to the presence of the hateful with fear and nausea. You're becoming healthy, that's all. By this time tomorrow, you'll be healthier still.
Truly done my best morning and afternoon to play it their way and sit like a horror show cooperative Malchick in the chair of torture while they flashed nasty bits of ultraviolence on the screen. Though not on the soundtrack, my brothers, the only sound being music. Then I noticed in all my pain and sickness what music it was that, like, cracked and boomed. It was Ludwig van. Ninth Symphony, Fourth Movement.
What's all this about sin?
There! Using Ludwig van like that, he can do harm to anyone! They've done him to strong music!
Are you referring to the background score?
Yes!
You've heard Beethoven before?
Yes!
So you're keen on music?
Yes!
Can't be helped. Here's the punishment element, perhaps. Governor ought to be pleased.
I'm sorry, Alex. This is for your own good. You'll have to bear with us for a while.
But it's not fair! It's not fair! I should feel ill when I hear lovely, lovely, lovely bad.
You must take your chance, boy. The choice has been all yours.
You needn't take it any further, son. You've proved to me that all this ultraviolence and killing is wrong. Wrong and terribly wrong. I've learned the lesson, sir. I see now what I've never seen before. I'm cured. Praise God.
You're not cured yet, boy.
But, sirs, missus, I see that it's wrong. It's wrong because it's like against society. It's wrong because everybody has the right to live and be happy without being told, chopped and knifed.
No, no, boy. You really must leave it to us. And be cheerful about it. In less than a fortnight now, you'll be a free man.
Ladies and gentlemen, at this stage we introduce the subject himself. He is, as you will perceive, fit and well nourished. He comes straight from a night's sleep and a good breakfast, undrugged, unhypnotized. Tomorrow, we send him out with confidence into the world again. As decent a lad as you would meet on a May morning. What a change is here, ladies and gentlemen, from the wretched hoodlum the state committed to unprofitable punishment some 2 years ago. Unchanged after 2 years. Unchanged, I say. Not quite. Prison taught him the false smile, the rubbed hands of hypocrisy, the fawning greased obsequious leer. Other vices it taught him, as well as confirming him in those he had long practiced before. Our party promised to restore law and order, and to make the streets safe again for the ordinary peace-loving citizen. This pledge is now about to become a reality. Ladies and gentlemen, today is an historic moment. The problem of criminal violence is soon to be a thing of the past. But enough of words. Actions speak louder than. Action now. Observe all.
Our necks are out a long way on this, Minister.
I have complete faith in Brodsky. If the polls are right, we have nothing to lose.
Hello, heap of dirt.
Oh, you don't wash much, do you? Judging by the horrible smell.
Why'd you say that, brother? I had a shower this morning.
Oh, you had a shower this morning. You trying to call me a liar?
No, brother.
Well, you must think I'm awfully stupid.
Why did you do that, brother? I've never done wrong to you.
You want to know why I did that? Well, you see.
I do this! And that! And this! Because I don't like your horrible type, you are!
And if you want to start something, if you want to start, well, you just go ahead. Go on! Please do! Go on!
I'm gonna be sick. I'm gonna be sick. Please let me get out.
You wanna get up? Now, you listen to me. If you wanna get up, you gotta do something for me. Here. Here. Oh, you see that? Is it that you? Well, I want you to lick it. Go on! Lick it.
And oh, my brothers, would you believe your faithful friend and long-suffering narrator pushed out his red yazzik a mile and a half to lick the Grazny Ronny boots?
And again!
The horrible killing sickness had whooshed up and turned the light joy of battle into a feeling I was going to snuff it.
And again. Nice and clean.
Thank you very much. That will do very well.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen.
Towards me, with the light like it was the light of heavenly grace, and the first thing that flashed into me, Gulliver, was that I'd like to have her right down there on the floor with the old in-out, real savage. But quick as a shot came the sickness, like a detective that had been watching around the corner, and now followed to make his arrest.
Enough. Thank you very much. Thank you, my dear. Not feeling too bad now, are you?
No, sir. I feel really great, sir.
Good.
Was it all right, sir? Did I do well, sir?
Fine, my boy. Absolutely fine. You see, ladies and gentlemen, our subject is impelled towards the good by, paradoxically, being impelled towards evil. The intention to act violently is accompanied by strong feelings of physical distress. To counter these, the subject has to switch to a diametrically opposed attitude. Any questions?
Choice. The boy has no real choice, has he? Self-interest, the fear of physical pain, drove him to that grotesque act of self-abasement. Its insincerity was clearly to be seen. He ceases to be a wrongdoer. He ceases also to be a creature capable of moral choice.
Padre, these are subtleties. We're not concerned with motives for the higher ethics. We are concerned only with cutting down crime. Yeah. And with relieving the ghastly congestion in our prisons. He will be your true Christian, ready to turn the other cheek, ready to be crucified rather than crucify. Sick to the very heart at the thought even of killing a fly. Reclamation. Joy before the angels of God. The point is that it works.
And the very next day, your friend and humble narrator was a free man.
Martina? Alex.
Mom?
How are you, love? Nice to see you. Huh?
That was a surprise. Good to see you.
Keeping fit?
Oh, hi.
How are you then? How are you?
Oh, I'm fine, fine. Keeping out of trouble, you know?
Well, I'm back.
Yes. Good to see you.
Why didn't you let us know what was happening, son?
Sorry, Em. I wanted it to be like a big surprise for you and P.
It's a surprise, all right. A bit bewildering, too.
We've only just read about it in morning papers.
Aye, you should have let us know, lad. Not that we're not very pleased to see you again. And all cured, too, eh?
That's right, Dad. They did a great job on me. I'm completely reformed. Well... Still the same old place then, eh?
Oh, hey. Hey, Dad. There's a strange fella sitting on the sofa munchy-wunching lumpticks of toast. That's Joe. He lives here now. The lodger. That's what he is. He rents your room.
How do you do, Joe? Find the room comfortable, do you? No complaints?
I've heard about you. I know what you've done.
Breaking the hearts of your poor grieving parents. So you're back, eh? You're back to make life a misery for your lovely parents once more, is that it? Well, over my dead corpse you will, because you see they've let me be more like a son to them than like a lodger.
Joe! Don't go fighting here, boys.
Well, do put your hand over your mouth, please. It's bloody revolting.
Are you all right, lad?
Hush, Dad. Treatment.
Well, that's disgusting. I mean, it's enough to put you off your food.
Oh, leave him be, Joe. It's treatment.
Did you think we ought to do something?
Would you like me to make you a nice cup of tea, son?
What have you done with all my own personal things?
Oh, well, that was all took away, son. By the police. New regulations, see, about compensation for the victims.
About Basil. Where's my snake?
Oh. Well, he met with, like, an accident, passed away.
What's going to happen to me then? I mean, that's my room, isn't it? There's no denying that. This is my home also. What suggestions have you, my P&M, to make?
All this needs thinking about, son. We can't very well just kick Joe out. Not just like that, can we? I mean, Joe's here doing a job. A contract it is, 2 years. And we made like an arrangement, didn't we, Joe? You see, son, Joe's paid next month's rent already, so... Well... Whatever we may do in the future, we can't just say to Joe to get out. Now, can we?
No, but it's much more than that, though. I mean, I've got you two to think of. You've been like a father and mother to me. Well, it wouldn't be fair now, or right, I mean, for me to go off and leave you two to the tender mercies of this young monster, who's been like no real son at all. Well, look, he's weeping now. But that's all his craft and artfulness. Let him go and find a room somewhere else. Let him learn the errors of his way. That a bad boy like his being doesn't deserve such a good mum and dad as he's had.
All right. I know how things are now. I've suffered. And everybody wants me to go on suffering.
You've made others suffer. It's only right that you should suffer proper.
You know, I've been told everything you've done sitting here at night round the family table, and pretty shocking it was to listen to. It made me real sick, a lot of it did. Now look what you've gone and done to your mother.
Right. I'm leaving now. You won't have bidden me no more. I'll make my own way. Thank you very much. Let it lie heavy on your conscience.
Now don't touch it like that, Sean.
Spare some colour, me brother. Can you spare some colour, me brother? Can you spare some colour, me brother? Thanks, brother. Jane Mac, may the Hokey fly. Holy Mother of God and all the blessed saints in heaven preserve us. I never forget a face, me cub. I never forget any face.
Leave me alone, brother. I've never seen you before.
This is the poisonous young swine that near joined me in. Him and his friends, they beat me and kicked me and pumped me. Stop him, stop him. They laughed at me, blood in me moans. This murderous...
Then there was like a sea of dirty, smelly old men trying to get at your humble narrator with their feeble rookers and horny old claws. It was old age having a go at youth. And I daren't do a single solitary thing, oh my brothers. It being better to be hit at like that than want to sit and feel that horrible pain.
What's your trouble, sir? Oh, no! Well! If it isn't little Alex! Long time no Vinny, Drew! How goes?
It's impossible! I don't believe it!
Evidence of the old glasses! Nothing up our sleeve. No magic, little Alex. A job for two who are now of job age. The police.
Come on, Alex. Stop the walking.
Come, my little Drugis.
I just don't get this at all. The old days are dead and gone. For what I did in the past, I've been punished.
Punished?
I've been cured.
Cured, yeah. That was read out to us. The inspector read it all out to us. He said it was a very good way.
But what is all this? It was them that went for me, brothers. Well, you know I'm their side and can't be. Well, you can't be, Dick. It was someone we filled with back in the old days. Trying to get his own little bit of revenge after all this time. Remember, Dim?
A long time, he's right. I don't remember them days you were a show. But don't call me Dim no more either. Officer called me.
Enough is remember so little, Alan.
This is just to make sure you stay
wanting, and it was home I came to, brothers, not realizing in the state I was in where I was and had been before.
To you, my boy.
And would you believe it, oh my brothers and only friends, there was your faithful narrator, being held helpless like a babe in arms, and suddenly realizing where he was, and why home on the gate had looked so familiar. But I knew I was safe. I knew he would not remember me, for in those carefree days, I and my so-called droogs wore our masks, which were like real horror show disguises.
Police. Ghastly, horrible police. They beat me up, sir. The police beat me up, sir.
I know you.
Isn't it your picture in the newspapers? Didn't I see you on the video this morning? Are you not the poor victim of this horrible new technique?
Yes, sir. That's exactly who I am, what I am, sir. A victim, sir.
And by God, you've been sent here by Providence. Tortured in prison, then thrown off to be tortured by the police. My heart goes out to you, poor, poor boy. Well, you are not the first to come here in distress. The police are fond of bringing their victims to the outskirts of this village. But it is providential that you, who are also another kind of victim, should come here. Oh, but you're cold and shivering. Julian, draw a bath for this young man.
Certainly, Frank.
Thank you very much, sir. God bless you, sir.
Be the most potent weapon imaginable to ensure that the government is not returned to the forthcoming election. The government's big boast, as you know, sir, is the way they have dealt with crime during the last few months, recruiting brutal young roughs into the police, proposing debilitating and will-sapping techniques of conditioning. Oh, we've seen it all before in other countries, the thin end of the wedge. Before we know where we are, we shall have the full apparatus of totalitarianism. This young boy is a living witness to these diabolical proposals. The people, the common people, must know, must see. There are great traditions of liberty to defend. The tradition of liberty is all. The common people will let it go, oh yes. They will sell liberty for a quieter life. That is why they must be led, sir. Driven, pushed. Fine. Oh, thank you very much, sir. He'll be here.
I'm singing in the rain, just singing in the wind. My glorious feeling, I'm happy again. I'm laughing at clouds, so dark above. The sun. At the stormy clouds chase everyone from the place. Come with the rain, I've a smile on my face. I'll walk down the hill to a happy
good evening, sir.
Good evening.
It was very kind of you, sir, to leave this out for me. There was no one around when I finished my bath, so I started. Hope that's all right, sir.
Of course.
Great. Try the wine. Thank you, sir. Cheers. Happy days. Won't you join me?
No. My health doesn't allow it.
No, thank you.
Ah. 1960, Chateau. Saint-Estèphe. Medoc. Very good brand, sir. Very good. Colour, sir. Smells nice, too. A very nice little number, sir. Well, here's to it. Very refreshing, sir. Very refreshing.
I'm pleased you appreciate good wine. Have another glass.
Thank you, sir.
My wife used to do everything for me and leave me to my writing.
Your wife, sir? Is she away?
No, she's dead.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear about that, sir.
She was very badly raped, you see. We were assaulted by a gang of vicious young hoodlums in this house, in this very room you are sitting in now. I was left a helpless cripple, but for her the agony was too great. The doctor said it was pneumonia because it happened some months later during a flu epidemic. The doctors told me it was pneumonia, but I knew what it was. A victim of the modern age. Poor, poor girl.
And now you, another victim of the modern age. Would you can be helped? I phoned some friends while you were having your bath.
Some friends, sir?
Yes, they want to help you.
Help me, sir?
Help you.
Who are they, sir?
They're very, very important people and are interested in you. Julian. This'll be these people now.
I don't think I want to trouble you any further, sir. I think I should be leaving.
No, my boy. No trouble at all. Here. Let me fill your glass.
Hello, Frank.
Good evening, sir.
Frank. So this is the young man.
How do you do, sir?
Hello.
This is
Very pleased to meet you.
Hello.
I hope you forgive us for coming over at this ungodly hour, but we heard from Frank that you were in some trouble, and so we came over to see if we could be of any help.
Very kind of you, sir. Thank you very much.
I understand you had a rather unfortunate encounter with the police tonight.
Yes, sir. I suppose you could call it that, sir.
How are you feeling now?
Oh, much better, thank you, sir.
Would you like talking to us, answering a few questions?
Fine, sir. Fine.
Well, as I said, we've heard about you. We are interested in your case. We want to help you.
Thank you very much, sir.
Well, shall we get down to it?
Fine, fine, sir.
The newspapers mention that in addition to your being conditioned against acts of sex and violence, you've inadvertently been conditioned against music.
Well, I think that was something that they didn't plan for. You see, Mrs. I'm very fond of music, especially Beethoven. Ludwig van Beethoven.
It's all right, thank you.
And it just so happened that while they were showing me a particularly bad film of, like, a concentration camp, the background music was playing Beethoven.
So now you have the same reaction to music as you do to sex and violence. Oh,
no, Mrs. You see, it's not all music. It's just the ninth.
You mean Beethoven's ninth symphony?
That's right. I can't listen to the ninth anymore at all. When I hear the ninth, I get like this funny feeling. And then all I can think about is, like, trying to snuff it.
I beg your pardon?
Snuff it, sir. I'm deaf, I mean, Mrs. I just want to die peacefully, like with no pain.
Do you feel that way now?
No, sir, not exactly. I still feel very miserable, very much down in spirits.
Do you still feel suicidal?
Well, put it this way. I feel very low in myself. I can't see much in the future. And I feel that any second something terrible is going to happen to me.
Well done, Frank. Julian, get the car, would you please?
I woke up. The pain and sickness all over me like an animal. Then I realized what it was. The music coming up from the floor was our old friend Ludwig van and the dreaded Ninth Symphony.
Thank you.
Suddenly I vidded what I had to do, and what I had wanted to do, and that was to do myself in, to snuff it, to blast off forever out of this wicked, cruel world. One moment of pain, perhaps, and then sleep. Forever and ever and ever. I jumped, oh my brothers, and I fell hard, but I did not snuff it. If I had snuffed it, I would not be here to tell what I told Hab. I came back to life after a long, black, black gap of what might have been a million years.
Feeling better?
What gives on my B&M? What makes you think you are welcome?
There, 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 Mother. It's all right. He doesn't mean it. You were in the papers again, son. It said they had done great wrong to you. It said how the government drove you to try and do yourself in. And when you think about it, son, maybe it was our fault too, in a way. Your home's your home. When all's said and done, son.
Good morning.
Good morning, Mrs.
How are you feeling today?
Fine, fine.
Good. May I? I'm Dr. Taylor.
I haven't seen you before.
I'm your psychiatrist.
Psychiatrist? Do I need one?
Just part of hospital routine.
What are we going to do? Talk about my sex life?
Oh, no. I'm going to show you some slides, and you're going to tell me what you think about them. All right?
Oh, jolly good. Do you know anything about dreams?
Something, yes.
Do you know what they mean?
Perhaps. Are you concerned about something?
No, no, not concerned, really. But, I've been having this very nasty dream. Very nasty. It's like, well, when I was all smashed up, you know, and half awake and unconscious-like, I kept having this dream. And like all these doctors were playing around with me Gulliver. You know, like the inside of my brain. I seem to have this dream over and over again. Do you think it means anything?
Patients who sustain the kind of injuries you have often have dreams of this sort. It's all part of the recovery process.
Ah.
Now then, each of these slides needs a reply from one of the people in the picture. You tell me what you think the person would say. All right?
Righty right.
Isn't the plumage beautiful?
I just say what the other person would say.
Yes.
Isn't the plumage beautiful?
Oh, yes, well, don't think about it too long. Just say the first thing that pops into your mind.
Cabbages, knickers, it's not got a beak.
Good. The boy you always quarreled with is seriously ill?
My mind is a blank. And I'll smash your face for you, your blockos.
Good. What do you want?
No time for the old in and out, love. I've just come to read the meter.
Good. You sold me a crummy watch. I want my money back.
You know what you can do with that watch? Stick it up your ass.
Good. You can do whatever you like with these.
Eggy wakes. I would like to smash them. And pick them all up. And throw... Ow! Fucking hell.
Oh, there. That's all there is to it. Are you all right?
Hope so. Is that the end, then?
Yes.
Well, I was quite enjoying that.
Good, I'm glad.
How many did I get right?
Oh, it's not that kind of a test. But you seem well on the way to making a complete recovery.
When do I get out of here, then?
I'm sure it won't be long now.
So I waited. And, oh, my brothers, I got a lot better. Munching away at eggy wags and lomticks of toast and lovely steaky wakes. And then one day, they said I was going to have a very special visitor.
Well, just wait outside for a moment, would you, officer?
Yes, sir.
I'm afraid my change of schedule has rather thrown you. I seem to have arrived when the patients were in the middle of supper.
Oh, that's quite all right, Minister. No trouble at all.
Good evening, my boy.
Hi, hi, hi there, my little droogies.
Well, how are you getting on today, young man?
Great, sir. Just great.
Can I do anything more for you, Minister?
I don't think so, Sir Leslie. Thank you very much.
Then I leave you to it. Nurse?
Well, you seem to have a whole ward to yourself, my boy.
Yes, sir. And a very lonely place it is too, sir. When I wake up in the middle of the night with me pain.
Yes. Well, anyway, good to see you on the mend. I've kept in constant touch with the hospital, of course. And now I've come down to see you personally, to see how you're getting along.
I've suffered the tortures of the damned, sir. Tortures of the damned.
Yes, I can appreciate that you have had an extremely Oh, look, let me help you with that, shall I?
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
I can tell you with all sincerity that I and the government of which I'm a member are deeply sorry about this, my boy. Deeply sorry. We tried to help you. We followed recommendations which were made to us that turned out to be wrong. An inquiry will place the responsibility where it belongs. We want you to regard us as friends. We've put you right. You're getting the best of treatment. We never wished you harm. But there are some who did, and do. And I think you know who those are. There are certain people who wanted to use you for political ends. They would have been glad to have you dead, for they thought they could then blame it all on the government. There is also a certain man, a writer of subversive literature, who has been howling for your blood. He's been mad with desire to stick a knife into you. But you're safe from him now. We put him away. He found out that you had done wrong to him. At least he believed you had done wrong. He formed this idea in his head that you had been responsible for the death of someone near and dear to him. He was a menace. We put him away for his own protection and also for yours.
Where is he now, sir?
We put him away where he can do you no harm. You see, we are looking after your interests. We are interested in you. And when you leave here, you will have no worries. We shall see to everything. A good job on a good salary.
What job and how much?
You must have an interesting job at a salary which you would regard as adequate. Not only for the job that you're going to do, and in compensation for what you believe you have suffered, but also because you are helping us.
Helping you, sir?
We always help our friends, don't we? It is no secret that this government has lost a lot of popularity because of you, my boy. There are some who think that at the next election we shall be out. The press has chosen to take a very unfavourable view of what we tried to do. But public opinion has a way of changing. And you, Alex, if I may call you Alex.
Certainly, sir. What do they call you at home?
My name is Frederick. As I was saying, Alex, you can be instrumental in changing the public's verdict. Do you understand, Alex? Do I make myself clear?
As an unmuddied lake, Fred. As clear as an azure sky of deepest summer. You can rely on me, Fred.
Good. Good, boy. Oh, yes, I understand you're fond of music. I have arranged a little surprise for you.
Surprise?
One that I hope that you will like. As a, how shall we put it? As a symbol of our new understanding. An understanding between two friends.
Let the stormy clouds chase everyone from the place. Come on with the rain, I've a smile on my face. I walk down the lane with a happy refrain, just singing, singing in the rain. Dancing in the rain, yeah, 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 yeah. I'm happy again. I'm singing and dancing in. Thank you.
singing in